Please be seated. The Word of God is our comfort and solace in time of need. God's Word says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in time of trouble. We have nothing to fear. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Please come before the Lord with me in prayer. Our eternal God, Heavenly Father, God of grace and God of comfort, we come before you in this hour with heavy hearts, but resting in your love and your mercy and grace to us. Father, we thank you that you can turn the shadow of death into the light of day. And we come before you now in the name of Jesus, your Son. Help us to wait upon you reverently and with believing hearts. And in the silence of this moment, Father, we pray that you would speak eternal things to us, that through patience and the comfort of Scripture, we might have the hope of eternal life, and that our hearts may be lifted above our darkness and distress in the light and peace of your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is our good shepherd, we rest in the sure promises of your word and of your gospel. And we praise you, O God of heaven, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you will, please turn in your worship folder to page 2. We will sing together, "Whate'er My God Ordains Is Right."
Whate'er my God ordains is right, holy his will abideth. I will be still whate'er he does, and follow where he guideth. He is my God. Dark the road, he holds me that I shall not fall. Wherefore to him I leave it all. Whate'er my God ordains is right, he never will deceive. Leads me by the promised path. I know he will not leave me. I take content what he has sent. His hand can turn my griefs away. And patiently I wait the day. Whate'er my God ordains is right, though now this cup in drinking may bitter seem to my faint heart, I take it all unfair. My God is true, each morn anew. Sweet comfort yet shall fill my heart, and pain and sorrow shall depart. Whate'er my God ordains is right, here shall my stand be taken. Though sorrow, state, or death be mine, yet I am not forsaken. My Father's care is round me there. He holds me that I shall not fall. Wherefore to Him I leave it all.
In our Father's care, we come before Him now for His consolation, that He may be our true comfort. Beloved, on the next page you will find our affirmation of faith, the great truth of the gospel to us, even when our hearts are heavy, that our God is our God in life and in death, that we may enjoy Him forever, even as we struggle with great hope of the knowledge of the one triune God who comforts us now. Beloved, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who at the cost of His own blood has fully paid for all my sins and has completely freed me from the dominion of the devil, that He protects me so well that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that everything must fit His purpose for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Amen.
Our first Old Testament reading comes from the prophecy of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. The word of the Lord. Our second Old Testament reading comes from the 121st Psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. The word of the Lord. Our third Old Testament scripture reading comes from the 139th Psalm. Listen, dear saints. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book they were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me! They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The word of the Lord.
We named him Matthew because of our love for the gospel of Matthew and its portrait of our Savior. We named him Knox after two men. One, John Knox, in honor of our Scottish and Presbyterian heritage. The other, after a professor of mine at Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson, Knox Chamblin, who instructed me and some of you in the beauties of the gospel from the Pauline epistles. And not only instructed us, but lived those beauties out for us, both in the classroom and out of the classroom. Knox was a joy to his mother, a delight to his sisters. He and his brother Jack were growing to like each other more and more. There are many memories that we will carry with us. I can see him running down the driveway, chasing after Jack, and Jack keeping a little ahead of him until he would let Knox catch up to him. I can see he and his sisters playing in the sandbox. I can see them holding him. Knox was becoming a lover of toy cars and toy trains like his brother Jack, and I can see them in our breakfast room. Jack moving the cars and trains as they were supposed to be along the windowsill. Knox more taking them and pounding them into the windowsill, but still with great enthusiasm and joy. Two weeks ago, I got a phone call. Of the accident that had taken place. In good Presbyterian parliamentary fashion, I'm going to ask for a moment of personal privilege here to give thanks to God that my wife was not alone, when it happened. To the ones who were there, I give you my great thanks. In love, I know that our prayers are with you as you grieve, along with us. For the next 10 days, as we were in the ICU up at Scott and White and Temple, as I know many of you and many people who will never know till we get to heaven, were offering up prayers for Knox. My Heavenly Father and I were having many conversations. And there was much that we discussed about my hopes and dreams for Knox. And what might not be, and what will not be. There'll be no soccer games or baseball games. There'll be no learning of the shorter catechism. There'll be no taking and coming to the Lord's table to take of the Lord's Supper. He will not grow up to be a professional baseball player and lead the Atlanta Braves over the dreaded New York Yankees in the World Series. He will not be able to stand as best man for his brother Jack. And Jack will not have the honor of doing the same for him. There will be no bride for Knox and no children. With all that said, somebody say, this is, what do you cling to? What do you hold to? Well, there's several things that I've held to, and I know my wife has held to, and others have held to over the past several days. We still hold that children are a blessing from the Lord. As painful and as difficult as these days are for us, we would not exchange these days for not have ever had Knox with us. We will take the 17 months. I know that there are some who, when these things happen, want to try to defend our great God. Declare that he was somehow absent on that day in the house, that he was absent over those 10 days in the hospital. That is not the confession of myself or my wife Rachel or our children. We would have you know that we stand confident that whatever our God ordains is right. I was reading a little Jonathan Edwards as I was sitting in Knox's room. And providentially, I read simply this line from Edwards. He says, God will not go amiss. Saints, God has not gone amiss in what has happened. And we are also, while we acknowledge that with one hand God has dealt this wound to us, and it is a hard wound, that with the other hand He is ministering the comfort of the gospel of Jesus Christ to us, because our God is good. And so when you think of Knox in the days and the weeks to come, and you think of our family, grieve with us. It is sad. We are mourning. And we know that you mourn with us. but also fix your eyes on Knox's God, who is faithful and who is true, who has made promises to Rachel and to I and to our children and to our children's children. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I would like to read to you from God's Word, from Psalm 103. Derek Prime has said that the only real answer for death is life. Jesus certainly believed that. Through death, through resurrection life, ascended and on His throne now, He ministers His grace to us. Hear the Word of God. Hear the Word of the steadfast love of God for our hearts as they mourn. As we grieve, it is our prayer that grief will give way to grace as we rest in the steadfast love of God. The Word of God from Psalm 103, verses 11 through 19. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of God is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. When I asked John and Rachel how they would remember Knox over the last couple of days, they told me that Knox was their pleasant surprise. He was the unexpected child, but that he was always a joy. When they remember Knox, they will remember the joy of this little one. When I asked them what they would like to characterize the service as we celebrate his life and as we look to our God, they said, I want people to know the goodness of God and the sovereignty of God. Both of those are wonderful goals for us this day. To be reminded that amidst our pain, there is a God who ministers to us. The truth this day is that death hurts, and it should hurt our hearts. And the death of a little one is the greatest of struggles. But we see that loss intently. But it shows us to another truth, and that is, while we can deny it most of the time, that the truth is, because of the fall and because of sin, that death is at work in all of us. And yet, while death works, the truth is this, beloved, that there is a God who works gloriously to bring life. Though there is the truth of death, there is the greater truth of God's gift of grace and life. And He is at work. How will we hold on in the days to come? How will we make it? Hold fast to the victory of Christ that has overwhelmed and defeated death. Hold fast to the victory of our God that has ministered to our soul and is given to us in His steadfast love. Beloved, I want you to see from our text, though it's mentioned four times in Psalm 103, we consider two of them, that the overwhelming evidence of the Word is that the steadfast love of God is the glue that holds us when our hearts are breaking, when our world seems to fly apart, when we struggle, we are promised that our God does not forsake us, but He holds us fast in His steadfast love. Two things I would show you from our text in verses 11 through 16. I would show you that God's steadfast love encourages. Even in the greatest of discouragement, even when doubts assail us, even as we have struggled over these last few days, the Word of God would tell us that God's steadfast love is with us. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. This love is not for a time. This love is for all times. The hardest thing about a time like this is that our hearts want to know why. Our hearts wander to the what-if questions or the if-only questions. And some of those will never be answered. But the truth is that what God would draw us to is to His boundless love, that He loves the Andersons, that He was the lover of Knox's soul as a covenant child, that He has made promises that extend beyond this life, and that He comforts. This is to be our confidence. His steadfast love encourages our confidence. As a matter of fact, the author David here, he wants us to see that love and to hold fast to that love. And so with three similes, he shows us that love. He shows us the dimensions of the love of God for us. He shows us the preeminent love of God, the pardoning love of God. He shows us the precious love of God. In verse 11, he extends to us this incalculable truth that the love of God extends higher than the heavens. That the dimensions of God's love in verse 12 is that He casts our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west, beyond the horizons that we will ever know. The dimensions of God's love extends to His children. And it is an indestructible love. In the best of a love of a father for his son, our Lord loves us. His love is indestructible to us. God sees past our sin. He sees past this struggle. And He extends to us by His Word, by His Son, a steadfast love. Can't unfold all of that to you, but one of the things that I think is beautiful in this passage, one of the things I think ministers to our soul in the time of like this, is that His steadfast love is displayed in compassion. In verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. Our God knows our frailty. He knows that we are but dust. He knows that we have a time here and we are forgotten. But God ministers to us in our frailty, and He remembers because He is compassionate. His compassion here is present tense. That we will never cease to need God's compassion. But God will never cease to give us His compassion. His steadfast love is compassionate to our souls, beloved, that we may know and reverence the Lord. The gift of this compassion is to strengthen us. You know, in the last 2 weeks, the thing that has summed up that these 2 weeks for me have been anguish and yet peace. Hardship and yet encouragement. Pain and yet compassion. God has been with us, though these days are hard. And beloved, our goal today is that we would be reminded of what God is like. These are the times when it is hard to see what God is like, but the Scriptures remind us what God is like. He is a Father who extends to us His steadfast love. Our hearts are pierced at the loss of a son. But our Heavenly Father knows that pain. His heart was pierced at the death of a son. But He gladly gave that son that we and our children and our children's children may embrace and through death live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's our hope. That there is a God who gives us a steadfast love that encourages us. But in verse 17, I want us also to see that God's steadfast love endures. Notice, but the steadfast love of God is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear Him. God's love is not fleeting, beloved. It is eternal. It is lasting. It is well established. The eternal quality of this steadfast love. John, Rachel, and I, 2 days ago, we were where we will be in a few minutes when we bury Knox's body. We were standing at the graveyard, and we were there to help pick out a plot for Knox. And it was hard. It was really hard. And I had no words to say. And as we were discovering whether it was okay or not, Rachel said, "This is not his home." Beloved, that's the truth of the text. There is an eternal love of God. We trust the eternal purposes of God, His electing love, and His great covenant. We must find our hope in the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth, the One who consoles our soul. Beloved, the love we need is the love of the Lord that transcends beyond all earthly struggles because it is an eternal love. His faithfulness to His side of the covenant is always true, and He will always be faithful to you in Christ. For an eternity, He will unfold His love to us. We will never exhaust the ends of the love of Christ. The eternal quality of God's steadfast love. But God's steadfast love endures because it is established. As John said, some have asked me, where was God in this time? Where was God in this tragedy? Some have asked me with courage to seek the answer. Some have not spoken it with their words, but spoken it with their eyes and heart. Where was God? And the answer of our psalm in verse 19 is that God was enthroned and that God was present. God never lost sight of Knox. Even in Knox's most perilous moment, His God was with him, and He is with him now. God is enthroned. He is a king, and He has established His throne. And He ministers His mercy to us in His great love. God has always known Knox's days. The very psalm that we read earlier in Psalm 139, 16, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet not one of them." God knew Knox's end from the beginning. And the comfort that brings John and Rachel and us this day is that those 17 months, while they were cut short, and not one of us in the room didn't pray that they would be extended, yet those days were a gift of God. And we would never turn back on the joy of knowing this Son of promise. Let our hearts grieve, but let our hearts trust that God's love will endure because it is eternal. Because He has established His steadfast love to us. Beloved, the comfort in a time like this may be hard to find, but it is found in God and His steadfast love to His children. Our goal today is to receive that steadfast love and to walk together in it. We need to remind one another of these truths when our hearts struggle. Remember and hold fast to a God that is greater than you are. Hold fast to the steadfast love of God. John and Rachel, my heart's grieved with your grief. I do not know your pain. I can't imagine it. But I love you, and my heart is sorrowful with you. There are family members who love you, and have extended that love. And I know your hearts are sorrowful too. This room is packed because there are people here who love you, who want to share with you, who want to walk through this with you. But I would have you both know that it is God's steadfast love that will sustain you. The beauty of the love that is here only is a glimpse of the love of your God for you. Hold fast to His steadfast love. And Michael and Elizabeth and Emma and Jack, I love you. And there are going to be times when you're going to cry. And those tears are okay. But there are going to be times when you're going to smile and remember your little buddy. And there are going to be times when you will remember his joy and be joyful too. It's okay to cry. But remember, he is with his God. The thing that comforts me is the promise of God. And while Knox's body is here with us, he is with his Lord. He has preceded us. Family members, most of you I've met through this trial and this tragedy. And I in no way want to minimize the pain that you feel. But I do want to encourage your hearts. When that grief and that pain grabs you, let me encourage you to hold fast to the love of Christ. David, as his infant son died, as he had grieved in prayer and sought the Lord in 2 Samuel 12, as he came before the Lord after the death of this infant child, he worshiped God. And he said what I think is profound. I will go to him. He will not come to me. There is our comfort. Not merely in the loss, but in the greater gain for Knox as a covenant child of God's grace. To the Westminster family, to those of you who are here from Presbytery and from the hospital and from the extended family and friends, I want to thank you. There is nothing like the hands and feet of the love of God in the body of Christ. And we continue to need that. The Andersons continue to need that. And we need to be in it together for the long haul. But it's the beauty of the love of Christ that binds us together. Let us hold fast. Let us grieve with the Andersons. Let us walk forward with hope of God's great salvation. And I know, because a few of you I've talked to, some of you are struggling with the difficulty of the love of God. And beloved, honestly, there are moments when the doctrine of the love of God is very difficult. And I wouldn't hide that from you. God's love can be a difficult doctrine. And I promise that it will not make sense to you unless you press the love of God through the cross of Christ. My encouragement to you, if you are grieving and you cannot see the steadfast love of God, is to take that pain to the cross of Christ. There see the wondrous supply of God. It is there and only there that pain and misery and love mingled makes sense. It's only there that death is conquered and life is won. Beloved, by faith, we must receive that there is a God who loves us and has overcome death and who extends His love to us through death and a cross to life everlasting. The truth before us today is that Knox was ours for a time, but beloved, he is God's for eternity. There's part of that that grieves my heart. There's part of that that undergirds it with joy. John and Rachel, you're a family of seven. I know one of the hardest things of this is to think of being a family of six. As I sat with my family last night, we were discussing that. And the encouragement was not to see yourself as a family of six, but to continue to see yourself as a family of seven. Knox is just going home first. God may give you more, I don't know. But trust the mercies of God, that we may join Him in God's healthful shores. Someone prayed with you this week, thanking God for Knox's life and reminding me that Knox is more joyful, more healthy, more whole than he has ever been. He was always a joy, and he knows joy to the fullest now in the arms of the Savior. Let us hold fast to that truth. Beloved, please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank You, O Lord, for the gospel of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we find our hope in Your promises and in Your Word. Loving Father, we give great thanks for the life of Knox, the life that You gave him. We thank You for this child. We thank You for every moment that we had him. We thank You for the Andersons. And we ask, Father, that You would do what we cannot. We ask that You would bind their hearts in Your mercy and Your love to Your holy purposes by Your great grace. Father, we will extend to You all the glory of being our God. And we ask You now that You would comfort us, that You would bind our wounds. We thank You for Knox, that he knows no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death in Your presence. And we pray, Father, that You would give us the hope and the comfort of that to come as our hearts are saddened and full of hurt. We pray, Father, that You would encourage us. As our hearts long for Knox and we struggle with this temporary separation, we pray that You would bathe us with the love of Christ. Fill our hearts with Your peace and steadfast love. Strengthen our faith. Uphold us by the power of Your right hand. O Heavenly Father, help us to move onward. Not to be paralyzed by our grief, but to move in hope to honor You. Father, I pray that You would set our hearts upon the new heaven and the new earth and the heavenly Jerusalem, and that You would draw our vision to serve You, that we would remember and love, and that we would encourage and go forth. Bear the fruit of Your grace in our hearts, we pray, in the name of Christ, in the power of Your Spirit. Amen.
In addition to the program here, we've taken to in recent months before our meals of singing the doxology. And one of the memories I will take with me always of Knox is him sitting in his high chair. Obviously not able to join in with the words, the smile that would break upon his face as his brother and sisters gave glory to our great God. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand and to join together in singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings fall. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Each night before my children go to sleep, as I'm able, I pronounce this benediction upon them. And even in our grief, this is still God's good word to us. Receive now God's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Beloved, if you will, if you'll hold your place, we'll ask the family to be dismissed, and then you may be dismissed after them.